Well, no more puberty blockers for children in the United Kingdom. This was a decision made by the National Health System. This means that they can no longer use puberty blockers to treat gender dysphoria, which they weren't really doing anyway, and we're going to take a look at that in depth. These are drugs that were developed to treat child cancer patients whose chemotherapy had brought on precocious puberty. So you might see like a four-year-old with boobs or something like that. It was never intended to pause development into adulthood forever, but they have been used for that at alarming rates. Now, here was this announcement from the NHS saying that puberty suppression hormones are not available as a routine commission treatment option for treatment of children and young people with gender incongruence or gender dysphoria. This doesn't mean you can't get them. You can. A lot of people in the UK have private health insurance, but you have to think that doctors are going to be a little bit more scared prescribing them in private, because if someone sues them, they can say, why did you make this decision when the NHS has already declared that these are not actually safe and we don't know it, right? So it probably will slow this down quite a bit in the United Kingdom, because it's used mostly on tweens as their puberty is coming, because these kids are told, oh, you're transgender, but your puberty is going to turn you into a full-grown woman or man, and then you won't be able to switch it. So if you pause it now, we can sort of mold your body the way we want to, and you'll feel better, which is a total lie. Now, there's some pretty interesting admissions here. The document admits that gender nonconforming behavior is very normal. We have not seen that very much these days. That means, oh, a boy likes dolls or a girl wants short hair. That does not mean they're trans. That actually is what they call part of normal development. They also say that puberty blockers are currently being used off-label, which is true. That means it's not approved to give to tweens this way. They've just been doing it anyway. They also don't have a proper dosage. They don't know how much to give. They're just winging it. They also admit that patients that have gender dysphoria have a range of associated difficulties like bullying, low mood, depression, and self-harm. Also, they say that they only have a very small study about the use of puberty blockers for gender dysphoria. And in that study, take a look, it did not really help. It says that overall, there was no statistical significance of difference in gender dysphoria. Like, they were the same. So here's the meaning. They still felt just as bad. They still felt just as dysphoric. They didn't feel like, oh, I blocked my puberty. Cool. I'm going to be like this forever. No, they needed a continuous treatment. In fact, most of them go on to cross-sex hormones and, for the most extreme cases, surgery. Now, here's their conclusion. We've concluded there is not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty blockers to treat for the treatment routinely available at this time. Now, there are a few things that they didn't say that we know about puberty blockers from the WPATH documents. So last week, journalist Michael Schellenberger received leaked documents from the World, the WPATH, World Professional Association for Transgender Health. It's not a medical association. It's more like a legal, it's more like an advocacy group. The doctors make it up, but they don't give medical advice. They give winging it advice. These documents show some crazy things, you guys. They do show that, this is something that we've known for a long time, that gender dysphoria usually resolves through puberty, meaning if you let a child go through puberty, they usually don't have gender dysphoria when they're done. This is common in the tweens. And then by the time they're an adult, they're usually a pretty healthy gay man. That's sort of the normal trajectory of these things. So they know that doctors have been using these puberty blockers like a makeup counter. One endocrinologist in Canada who does put kids on puberty blockers and all other buffet of things said this to a panel for other gender medicine doctors. His name is Daniel Metzger. He discussed the challenges faced when attempting to obtain consent from adolescents seeking this medical treatment. He says that he said to those assembled that they are often explaining all sorts of things to people who haven't even had biology in high school yet. adding that even adult patients often have very little medical understanding of the effects of these interventions. He describes young patients attempting to pick and choose the physical effects of hormone therapy, with some wanting a deeper voice without facial hair, or to take estrogen, but they don't want to develop breasts. This suggests a very poor understanding of the workings of the human body and the treatment pathway that these adolescents are on. So they don't, you know, the marching order, the thing that trans advocates say is the kids should be in charge. They absolutely know their own bodies. They know what's best for them. Listen to the kids. They don't know. They don't understand what's going on. In fact, he said that they kind of just make an order, like at a McDonald's, of what characteristics they want. He says it's hard to kind of pick and choose the effects that you want. That's something that kids wouldn't normally understand because they haven't had biology yet. But I think a lot of adults as well are hoping to be able to get X without getting Y. And that's not always possible. He says he has to tell them, you may be binary, but hormones are non-binary, but hormones are binary. Like, you can't get a deeper voice without also probably a bit of a beard. You can't get estrogen to feel more feminine without getting breast development. So what the hell, you guys? You can't just decide, like, oh, I would like a little more feminine up here, but let's leave this alone. It's not the hairdresser when you're messing with this stuff. And when they try to explain to these children that these hormones could make them sterile, well, the kids don't get that either. Here's that same doctor saying, yeah, it's always a good theory to talk to the kids about fertility preservation with a 14-year-old, but you know I'm talking to a blank wall. They'll be like, ew, kids, gross, babies. And usually they'll just say, oh, I'll just adopt. And you're like, well, do you know what that's about, how much it costs, what you'll have to go through? And they're like, no, because they're 14. They don't understand it. So again, this idea of get informed consent, the kids understand what they're doing. They don't. And in fact, a study out of the Netherlands showed that people who go on puberty blockers have a high level of regret. And here Dr. Metzger says, yeah, that's not that surprising to us. Says some of the Dutch researchers gave some data about young adults who transitioned and had reproductive regret. Like, regret, and it's there. And he says, and that doesn't surprise us. Meaning all the doctors that are handing this out in this room, they know when they follow up with these people who become adults that they feel sad. And they even say, like, oh, you know, why are you sorry that you didn't develop into a full reproductive human? And they'll say, oh, well, I met this great person. Now I want kids. Can't do that now because I messed with my body so much. What's more, they have research showing that if you do really show kids what will happen to them if you start to mess around with their body, they usually don't do it. So it says 2 decades ago at this Portman Adult Gender Clinic in London, a British psychiatrist demonstrated that giving trans-identified patients a realistic idea of what sex trait modification can achieve is a highly effective strategy for quelling the desire for medical intervention and minimizing transition regret. So what they did was they paired up some surgically transitioned people with other people who were like considering it, and they saw that person's not that happy that they did that to their body. They're struggling because it's painful because they mutilated themselves. And so when you see someone who's like, this is going to be great, I'm going to have boobs, I'm going to have pretty lipstick, it's going to be wonderful, and then you talk to someone who thought that same thing and now dealing with all of this post-operative care that, again, is unscientific and unproven, they don't do it. Here's one more just kind of crazy thing about, is this where I'm going? One more is the idea of informed consent around transgender patients who already have other mental health issues, which most of them do, such as autism, eating disorder, depression, and all of that. Most of them also happen to be obese. And the WPATH documents say, well, we have to just let them have their surgeries anyway. Even though there is a BMI limit, they go right past it. They ignore that. One case presented at the WPATH symposium had to do with trans patients who have multiple personalities or plural identities. So how do you get informed consent from someone who has multiple personalities? Well, here's what they came up with. They said they recommend affirmation of both trans and plural identities, which could lead to a gender and plural euphoria, as well as the suggestion that plurals have their separate personalities use an app to talk to each other to reach an agreement about hormonal and surgical sex trait modification interventions. You guys, an app. This is a child that has many personalities, and you're like, well, one of you in there wants to cut off the boobs or the penis. Okay, get permission from the other ones using your iPhone, and then we'll do it. How much do you think they want? Clearly, they want to be putting kids on these drugs.
Didn't parents used to have to at some point explain that your imaginary friends aren't real?
I mean, you know, well, a multiple personality, this is very real to that person, right? So you can imagine how unethical it is to say, well, this Natalie wants the boobs cut off, so do it. And then other Natalie's going to wake up and be like, where do they go? Right? This is not ethical at all to treat just what one person. You got to deal with the multiple personality. That's like baseline. You got to deal with that first. And a lot of times these doctors know there is this anxiety, there is this, you know, depression, there is this thing. And they're just like, well, let's do the gender surgery. Don't worry about the trauma. Don't worry about the other stuff. Probably that'll work itself out. The gender stuff is the priority. So this is just proof that they're crazy. So,
well, good news out of the UK, finally. I mean, it seems like we've seen some positive news here in the UK and in Europe over the past few days. We have Ireland we're going to be focusing on here in a few minutes. David Thunder is going to be joining us because of what Ireland just did to, they were going to amend the constitution to change the meaning of family, to remove mother and father from it. I mean, it's just a can of worms. Unbelievable. So we're going to talk about that. And Portugal, of course, just had their election and voted basically against socialism, finally. So maybe we see some movement here in Europe, which is exciting.
Right. Well, at the same time, you know, in the United States, when these laws banning puberty blockers are put on the books, they are challenged by the Supreme Court. They're taken, they're appealed. They're stayed because they're fighting so hard to be able to do these things to kids. When what you realize is it's not really kids leading this discussion. They're not like, oh, I eventually am going to want to look like a woman, so I better stop my development as a man. That idea was put into their minds by people who were already transgender as adults and wishing that they had never transitioned. But that was planted there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it's wild that we're doing this. And when you see exactly how they know how harmful it is, it's just disgusting. We're going to keep talking about the WPATH documents because there's so much here. Today, we're only talking about puberty blockers, but we're going to keep talking about the cross-sex hormones that they know about, all the surgeries that they're doing, which is like Frankenstein's monsters. You know, the cross-sex hormones, they cause young boys to have painful erections like broken glass. They know this, and what they say to do about that is to tell young boys to stop having erections, talk about conversion therapy, or they say, well, you just got to cut it off then, and then you'll feel better. That's how you get that to stop. That's what they say. Broken glass erections. I mean, I can't even imagine, but yeah. If you put
tell a young boys
on estrogen, their erections hurt them, and then you're telling them, we'll just try not to have them. That's awful.
Yeah, it is. You're not going to tell a teenage boy to not have an erection.
That's what they're doing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why in middle school, I had to stop wearing sweatpants for most of those years.
Yep.
This is involuntary.
Girls watching might not know or understand this, but oh my God. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
These poor kids were like, this happens involuntarily in school, and then you're just screaming, broken glass. And literally this one doctor is like, yeah, I had that too. The only way I got rid of it was by cutting it off. So this is cruelty. Ugh. You guys, it's awful.
He had second period at high school, and you know, what's her name would walk in because it was cheerleading day.
Uh-huh. No, that's not a out of the blue, though. That's for a reason. We're talking.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Philip was talking about, like, they all, come well, for no reason. For all reasons. All reasons. All reasons.
Yeah, it's all the above.
All reasons.
All reasons.
Yeah. It's just, okay. It just happens. Sandwich, I mean, you're...
Who the hell knows? Yeah, it's being a boy, being a man.
I liked David's comment about this before when they say, David, write that on the board. And he's like, nope.
Yep, sorry.
I don't know the answer.
Would any boy like to come up here and write on the chalkboard and give us, nope, not going to. Clayton, you want to come up?
I don't
can't
know
right
answer.
Now. My leg's asleep. I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.